Let us call upon the name of our covenant God together in congregational prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank thee for that blessed man who considereth the poor, and who considereth the poor in sin and iniquity, who considereth the poor who have nothing with which to buy the riches of salvation, who have no ransom price that they can pay for the redemption of their souls, which is precious, but who are considered nevertheless by that one who is full of wealth, and who is the Lord from heaven, and who is our Savior. We thank thee, Father, that he has considered us by entering into our bed of languishing, and into our sickness and disease, that is, that he considered us by coming into our flesh and having our sins laid upon him according to thy righteous judgment, and delivering us from them, so that we who are unrighteous of ourselves are nevertheless perfectly righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for him who bore the reproach of the whole world, and who was whispered against and plotted against. We thank thee for our Savior, who lived among men who even lifted up their heels against him and betrayed him, even being betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. And we thank thee for the victory that belongs to our Savior Jesus Christ, who triumphed over his foes and not his foes triumphing over him, and who accomplished all thy good pleasure concerning thy people in our salvation, and who is set before thy face in integrity, and who lives before thee forever, even sitting at thy right hand, as the perfectly righteous Lord of heaven and earth, and the righteous head of his church. We thank thee for this resounding victory that resonates through our souls, and indeed that reverberates in the heavens themselves. For blessed be thy name, the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. We thank thee for bringing us into thy house this evening, that we might worship thy name, and that we might hear of the wonderful works of our Savior for us, and thy wonderful works revealed in him, thy wonderful love, and thy everlasting mercy. We pray that thou wilt open thy servant's mouth, that he might proclaim, thus saith the Lord, that he might come with the fruits of Canaan, the nourishing fruits of the gospel, his arms laden, as the spies in days of old came out of Canaan, with their arms and shoulders laden with the bounties of that heavenly land. And we pray that thou wilt open our ears, that we might hear the gospel, and that by that hearing of the gospel our souls might live, and that we might eat, we who have no money to buy, we who have nothing with which to obtain our salvation, might come to the waters, and might buy and eat and drink, and might have wine and bread without price and without money. We pray that thou wilt feed our hungry and thirsty souls with Jesus Christ, with his body and blood, in the preaching of the gospel and in the sacrament that thou dost add to that preaching. And because this is thy work, our nourishment is thy work, wilt thou so work in our midst by thy mighty, sovereign, and gracious power in this day. We pray thy blessing upon thy people wherever they are. Cause thy word to go forth from our midst to the ends of the earth according to thy will. We pray that thy people might hear the glad news from a far country, from heaven itself, of salvation for sinners in Jesus Christ. We pray thy blessing upon our brethren in Singapore. Remember them, comfort them, and build thy church. For thou art the God who doth set thy church upon the cornerstone who is Jesus Christ, according to our Lord's own promise, that upon the rock of the truth of who he is, upon the rock of his gospel, he builds his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Remember our brethren in their needs, remember them in their burdens, and as well as in their joys. Wilt thou send forth thy word in their midst, and use that for the building of thy kingdom. Remember our brethren also in the Philippines. We thank thee for the door of faith that thou hast opened there, and that thou dost give unto thy people there the words of everlasting life, as they learn of the depravity of man and the closing of all of the doors of salvation through the will and the work of man, and as they see that there is one way of escape, one way of salvation, thy way, the way of sin and grace, the way who is Jesus Christ, who is thy gift for sinners who belong unto thee. We pray, Father, that thou wilt cause thy word to go forth with power there and build thy church in Manila as well as in the provinces. Cause thy word to go forth and thy people be gathered in. We thank thee also, Father, that thou hast given us a school here in our midst. Wilt thou bless Pavilion Christian now on its summer break? Remember the teachers and their preparations for the coming school year. Remember our covenant seed on whose behalf the school is established. And wilt thou maintain the school? For it is beyond our strength. It is an impossible thing. But with thee all things are possible. We thank thee that in our school, as well as in the church, we do not deal with what the arm of man can do, but with what thy divine, sovereign, almighty arm does, and with thy good pleasure, which is eternal and cannot be overthrown by the will of man. Bless our children, bless our covenant seed, remember them. In the midst of this world, as they come to years of discretion, in the midst of many, many temptations, as they are stalked by the enemy, as thy people, thy sheep, and thy lambs always are, we pray that thou wilt protect them and us from the wolves that would tear and destroy. And wilt thou, by the Lord Jesus Christ, gather them into thine arms and carry them in thy bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. We pray, Father, that thou wilt remember the boys of our congregation who cannot be here tonight. Wilt thou give to them, nevertheless, a Sabbath day's blessing according to thy own sovereign power and thy own mysterious providence. We pray, Father, thy blessing upon them and upon each of us, for we are weak and would be destroyed except for thy grace. And having thy grace, our feet are fixed upon solid ground, where no man can move us or destroy us. How wonderful, how entirely beyond the flesh. Wilt thou give us also faith to see it? We pray, Father, that thou wilt forgive the sins we have committed, wash them away in our Savior's blood. We thank thee for his work, his finished work, sealed by his declaration from the cross, it is finished. We thank thee for the testimony of his finished work in his resurrection from the dead the third day. We pray that thou wilt give unto us by thy Spirit that testimony in our hearts, that through him we are thy sons and thy daughters, thy children, beloved of thee from eternity, and covered in the blood of our Savior. And give to us also a life of gratitude, that we might serve thee in all things. We pray, Father, that thy name might receive the glory and honor. Hear our prayer, answer us in thy mercy, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We worship the Lord in the giving of our offerings. The first offering is for evangelism, and the second is for the school fund. Psalm 42. To the chief musician, Maschil, for the sons of Korah. In Psalm 42, we begin the second book of the Psalms. And just as the first book in Psalm 3, after the introductory Psalms in Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, began with Jesus' lowliness and the assault upon him from many, so in Psalm 42, we begin very low with the Savior thirsting for God and panting for him, that he may come into God's courts with his tears being his meat night and day. The note of victory is already found in Psalm 42. In verse 5, for example, "Trust God, for I shall praise him yet. His countenance is mine aid." And the end, in verse 11, we find there the note of victory, and yet the second book of Psalms begins with the lowliness of our Lord again. And that's instructive for us, that our Lord entered into all of our lowliness and all of our sin to deliver us, and his victory is through his giving us victory over sin and death. We'll sing at this time then verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 42, 1 through 5, which amounts to the first 6 stanzas of the music, Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5. Turn in God's Word this evening to the book of Psalms. We'll be reading several verses, many verses in fact, out of the book of Psalms that mention the name of God. We read this in connection with the third commandment, which is the prohibition against taking God's name in vain. In the Psalms, our Savior sang often of the name of God. And in these songs, we see our Savior using the name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence in the worship of God's name. We find in all of these references to God's name in the Psalms, then, the gospel of our salvation, that Jesus Christ has kept the third commandment as the substitute and head of his church. We begin with Psalm 5, verse 11. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 8, verse 1 and verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 9, verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou Most High. Psalm 9, verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Psalm 18, verse 49. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Psalm 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. And verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. And verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 22, verse 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 25, verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 31, verse 3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Psalm 33, verse 21. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Psalm 34, verse 3. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 41, verse 5, speaking of the name of Jesus, which we just sang. Psalm 41, verse 5, mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? Psalm 44, verse 5. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. Psalm 44, verse 8. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. Psalm 44, verse 20. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Psalm 45, verse 17. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Psalm 48, verse 10. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Psalm 52, verse 9. I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Psalm 54, verse 1. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. And verse 6. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Psalm 61, verse 5. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Psalm 61, verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Psalm 63, verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Psalm 66, verse 2. sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Psalm 66, verse 4, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee, they shall sing to thy name. Psalm 68, verse 4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. Psalm 69, verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 69, verse 36, the seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Psalm 72, verse 17, his name shall endure forever, his name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him, all nations shall call him blessed. And verse 19, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Psalm 74, verse 7, they have cast fire into thy sanctuary, they have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. And verse 10, O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Psalm 74, verse 18, remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. And verse 21, O let not the oppressed return ashamed, let the poor and needy praise thy name. Psalm 75, verse 1, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks, unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Psalm 76, verse 1, in Judah is God known, his name is great in Israel. Psalm 79, verse 6, pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. Psalm 79, verse 9, help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins, for thy name's sake. Psalm 80, verse 18, so will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Psalm 83, verse 16, fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. And verse 18, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Psalm 86, verse 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee. Psalm 86, verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. Psalm 89, verse 12, the north and the south thou hast created them, Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Psalm 89, verse 16, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Psalm 89, verse 24, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Psalm 91, verse 14, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Psalm 92, verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High. Psalm 96, verse 2, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. And verse 8, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. Psalm 99, verse 3, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Psalm 99, verse 6, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Psalm 100, verse 4, Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Psalm 102, verse 15. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. Psalm 102, verse 21. To declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 105, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. And verse 3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Psalm 106, verse 8. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. And verse 47, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Psalm 109, verse 21. O that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I think I have the wrong reference for that one. We'll go on. Psalm 111, verse 9. Psalm 111, verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Psalm 113, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And verse 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And verse 3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Psalm 116, verse 4. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Psalm 116, verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation, and call upon the name of the Lord. And verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 10, all nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. And 11 and 12, they compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. And verse 26, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 55, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. And verse 132, look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Psalm 122, verse 4. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Psalm 129, verse 8. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Psalm 135, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. And verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. And verse 13. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. And thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Psalm 139, verse 20. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Psalm 140, verse 3. Psalm 140, verse 13, rather. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, the upright shall dwell in thy presence. Psalm 142, verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Psalm 143, verse 11. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. And verse 2, every day will I bless thee and will praise thy name forever and ever. And verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 148, verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. And verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. And Psalm 149, finally, verse 3. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. This is the word of God and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. May he bless his word to our hearts this evening. On the basis of those passages and many others, we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 36, which explains the third commandment. The third commandment reads, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Question 99. What is required in the third commandment? That we, not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others, and briefly, that we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us, and be glorified in all our words and works. Is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin, that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor, as much as in them lies, to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? It undoubtedly is, for there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name, and therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. Beloved congregation, in our Lord Jesus Christ, we come this evening in Lord's Day 36 to the third commandment of God's holy law. The third commandment forbids the taking of God's name in vain, and therefore the third commandment requires that we use God's name no otherwise than with fear and reverence, that God and his name may be glorified by us in all of our words and works. The third commandment is, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The gospel to Remnant Reformed Church this evening with regard to the name of God is not that commandment. That commandment is not good news for you and for me. We love that law. It is the law of God. But that commandment itself is not good news for the Church of Jesus Christ this evening. The good news with regard to the name of God is that Jesus went under the third commandment. He was made of a woman, made under the law. And that means Jesus Christ, under that third commandment, obeyed. He did not take God's name in vain, but used God's name, as the Psalms reveal in abundance, no otherwise than with holiness and reverence in the worship of the name of God. And not only did Jesus obey under the third commandment, but he paid under the third commandment. He paid the penalty that the law lays upon those who are guilty. For the third commandment says, The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Jesus took all of that guiltiness of our violation of the third commandment upon himself and paid the penalty of death in our place. The good news for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ with regard to the name of God is that Jesus has obeyed and paid the requirements of the third commandment. The office of the third commandment for us then this evening is not to be good news, that's Jesus Christ, but the office of the third commandment is to expose us as blasphemers. We must know that about ourselves. We are blasphemers. And the office of the third commandment is to be the rule of our grateful life to God for the deliverance that He has given us from our blasphemy through Jesus Christ and His blood. And so this evening we consider the third commandment, using that as our theme. In the first place, consider the holy name of God. In the second place, consider the use of God's name. And in the third place, consider gratitude for God's name. The third commandment, the holy name of God, the use of God's name, and gratitude for God's name. The concept of a name comes up often in the Heidelberg Catechism. The concept of a name comes up when we deal with that portion of the Apostles' Creed where we confess the names of Jesus. Why is He called Jesus as His name? Why is He called Christ? Why is He called Lord? Why is He called the only begotten Son of God? The subject of God's name comes up here in this Lord's Day. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That subject will come up again in the prayer, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. The concept of the name comes up often in the Heidelberg Catechism because the concept of a name comes up often in the Scriptures. And as we have seen before, and so see again this evening, the truth of a name is that a name in Scripture is not merely a reference point or a handle. That's how we often use names. Our names are just a way to refer to that particular individual. They are a handle by which we get the attention, get hold of the attention of that particular individual. We often use names as merely a reference point or as a handle. But the concept of a name in Scripture is that a name is a revelation. In a name, in the names in Scripture, in the names of God, you learn who that God is. You learn the truth about that God. God is His names, and God reveals Himself in His names. A name is the revelation of the reality concerning something. Right now, you don't have that name that you know of, a name that reveals you, a name that shows who you are. You're going to have that name. There is that intriguing passage in Revelation 2, verse 7, that speaks of that name, 2 verse 17 rather, that speaks of that name that God will give us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. That is a marvelous passage with regard to the concept of a name, and with regard to your particular name. The concept of that name there is that there is a white stone that God has in His hand. A white stone in those days was the way that a vote would be made or a verdict would be given regarding innocence or guilt. If one was innocent, a white stone would be cast. If one was guilty, a dark stone would be cast. God says that He has in His hand a white stone. That means a verdict of innocence, a verdict of righteousness. And in that stone is written your name. And it is a name which no other man knoweth save him that receiveth it. That does not mean that that name must be kept a secret, so that forever in heaven we have to walk around making sure nobody knows that name that's in that white stone. But rather, that no other man knoweth it, saving him that receiveth it, means that name is unique. That can only be your name. It can be no one else's name. It is the name that reveals you according to your place in God's eternal counsel as a member of the body of Christ. Here on earth, we can have the same name. We have the same last name, the same family name within our family. People have the same first name so that we have to distinguish which one we're talking about. But in heaven, that won't be the case. There will be one name that is your name. It is unique to you. It is only yours because it expresses the one place that you have in that eternal counsel of God, and that to the glory of God. And that name is written on a white stone. It is written on that verdict of righteousness, so that forever and ever in heaven, your name will be known as a name of righteousness, a name of righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ, the members of whose body we are. That's the concept of a name in Scripture. A name is a revelation, and we have that kind of revelation of who we are as members of the body of Christ waiting for us as well. So it is then with God's name. God's name is the revelation of Himself. God reveals Himself in His proper names. The name God reveals who He is. The name God means mighty. That's the truth regarding God. God's name is Jehovah. It means I am that I am. That's the truth about God. He has His being of Himself and of no one else. He is independent of all. He needs no one's permission and no one's power to accomplish all His good pleasure. He is the God whose years are eternal. He is the I am yesterday, today, and forever. Jehovah is His names. God is His names, so that in His names there is a revelation of the truth of who God is. That makes God's name holy. It makes His name a sanctified name, because when you touch that name, you are touching the truth of Jehovah God Himself. And God reveals Himself elsewhere as well, so that the Scriptures can speak of God's name being excellent in all the earth. Psalm 8, verse 1. That is, God has revealed Himself in the earth itself, in the heavens and earth, in the creation that He has made, so that men seeing the creation see the name of God, though they hate Him, though they suppress that knowledge, though they hold it under an unrighteousness, though they make an image like unto four-footed beasts and creeping things, nevertheless, in the creation, the name of God is excellent and is displayed. The Bible is God's name, for the Bible is the revelation of God. Here is the name of God. Thou hast exalted thy word above all thy name, Jesus says in the Psalms, indicating that here the name of God is revealed. In this word you know the revelation of Jehovah God. God's name is His revelation of Himself. That makes God's name very holy, very precious. It makes it a sanctified name. And now the wonder of God's name for sinners who have been gathered by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ is God's name, and Jesus Christ is God's revelation. God makes Himself known in Christ. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. Jesus is the express image of God's person, so that in Jesus Christ God has revealed Himself. That's true even of Jesus' own personal name. Jesus bears the name of God as His own, for the name Jesus means Jehovah salvation. The name Jehovah is stamped upon Him. It is His name. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. What a wonderful revelation of God. God in Jesus Christ has revealed that salvation is in Him. God in Jesus Christ has revealed that we who cannot save ourselves nevertheless have salvation through this Jesus Christ. It reveals the will of God, the good pleasure of God. It reveals the work of God to deliver us from our sins. In the personal name of Jesus, there is the revelation of God. Jesus is God's name. That's true also with regard to Jesus' doctrine, not only with regard to His personal name, is He the revelation of God, but in the doctrine He taught, in His sermons, in His preaching, Jesus revealed the name of God. John 17, verse 6, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word. And then John 17, verse 26, And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus declared God's name as the content of his sermons, as the content of his doctrine. He revealed God. What did he reveal about God? Well, in Jesus' person and work, he revealed that salvation is of the Lord alone. That's an intriguing passage in Exodus 33, verse 23, and then Exodus 34, verses 5 through 8. Exodus 33, verse 23, God said to Moses, when Moses had asked God to show him his glory, God said to Moses, I will take away mine hand, after hiding him in the rock, I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And then in Exodus 34, verses 5 through 8, God passed by Moses and took away his hand and showed Moses God's back parts. And what were God's back parts? His name. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste, and bowed his head toward the earth, and worshipped. Everything that God said there was his name. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, all of that is the name of God. It is the revelation of who God is, and that is God's revelation in his back parts, which in other places in Scripture refers to the rump of an animal, those oxen that held up the great basin that was the laver in Solomon's temple had their rumps facing inwards towards that laver. It's the very same word that's used here, the back parts of God. And God describes the revelation of his name this way because he's talking about Jesus. God is talking about Jesus according to the estimation of the whole world concerning Jesus. Men mock God. They laugh at God, though God is not mocked. And though God sits in the heavens and laughs, they mock God. They laugh at God. And when they see God's Son, then they consider him to be nothing but back parts. And yet God says, there is my name revealed. Here's the estimation of man, that this is weakness, this is foolishness, this is nothing. But here is the truth regarding it. Here is my revelation of myself. In him is salvation. There the Lord God, and merciful and long-suffering and gracious, is revealed. That's the revelation of God to the Church of Jesus Christ. He shows us Jesus Christ, who according to the flesh was nothing, who according to the eyes of men was to be cast away and crucified, but concerning whom the truth was, he is the Son of God with power. He is the long-suffering of God, and he is the mercy of God, made known unto us through his body and through his blood. The Lord Jesus Christ is the name of God as God's revelation to his church. That's what we need. That's what you and I need, the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, because we're sinners, and because according to our flesh we esteem him stricken, and we turned away our faces from him. But God, in his mercy, has covered those sins in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and brought us through his flesh, as through the veil, into his very holy place to live with him. That's the holy name of God. Marvelous, wonderful truth of the holy name of God. The use, then, of God's name is to be a holy use. That's the explanation of the commandment itself, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Do not use the name of God lightly. That's what vanity is. It is lightness. It is emptiness. Do not use the name of God lightly. It is the name of God. It may not be used lightly. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name lightly. The use of the name of God is to be a holy use. The Heidelberg Catechism describes that use of God's name as perfect, in fact. The Catechism teaches negatively what we are not to do with that name and positively what we are to do. Negatively, we may not curse the name of God. Cursing the name of God means taking that name and using it as a light thing, using it as an expletive. The name of God is cursed by all men today as they take God's name and make it the servant of the fleeting emotions of man. Over against that cursing stands the third commandment, thou shalt not use the name of God thus lightly in vain. The Catechism also lists perjury. Perjury is lying under oath. The Catechism is going to devote an entire Lord's Day 37, to the matter of the oath. And also by rash swearing, that is taking an oath rashly upon one's lips, again, which Lord's Day 37 will deal with. The third commandment forbids the use of God's name in a light way for cursing, perjury, or rash swearing. We may not profane that name of God. We may not abuse that name of God. Nor may we by silence or connivance be a partaker of these sins in others, when the whole world uses the name of God in vain, then the members of the Church of Jesus Christ may not keep silence. The members of the Church may not connive at the taking of that name in vain. In fact, question 100 drives that home. Is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor, as much as in them lies, to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? The child of God may not by silence or by connivance partake of these sins in others. The child of God cannot change the heart of his neighbor. The child of God cannot turn a man and clean out a man's mouth. The child of God cannot do that. The Catechism says as much as he is able. But the Catechism also says that we may not by silence or connivance be partakers of these sins in others. The third commandment requires a holy use of God's name and forbids any profaning of that name. Positively, the Catechism shows that the third commandment requires, briefly, that we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us and glorified in all our words and works. The Catechism teaches our use of God's name must be absolutely perfect. There may be no imperfection in our use of that name, no profaning of it. And every time it is uttered, it may only be used in the service of his name. God loves his name. He loves that name. It's a holy name to him because it is the revelation of who he is. And that revelation of God, he loves, for that revelation is himself. God is his name. He loves himself with an infinite love. You cannot measure, I cannot measure the depth of God's love for his own name. And so he requires that we use that name perfectly, that we love that name as God loves that name, but we cannot love it infinitely, that we love it perfectly, that we do not use it in vain. And death is required for those who do not. For those who profane the name of God, God requires death. Is the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor, as much as in them lies, to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing, it undoubtedly is. For there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. And therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. And the Catechism gets that from different incidents in Scripture, but it also gets that from the third commandment itself, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That's the law. And the office of the law is to expose you and expose me. You are a blasphemer, and I am a blasphemer. You are worthy of death, and I am worthy of death. By our misuse of the name of God, it has been a light thing to us. It's always a light thing to our flesh. We, by silence and connivance, have permitted these sins in others, these horrible sins in others. And we have not used that name of God with all of its weight. We have used that name of God imperfectly in our worship. We have sinned against the third commandment of God's holy law. We cannot be righteous before God by this law. We cannot have life by this commandment. The commandment leaves no room for it. Not because there's a problem with the commandment. The commandment is good. It is a righteous commandment. It is a just commandment. It's a true commandment. God's name is holy. You must use it in a holy way, and so must I. There's nothing wrong with the commandment. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with me. The law is weak through the flesh, Romans 8, verse 3. All that we can have by the law is death. We cannot have life by the law. And this third commandment, which exposes us as blasphemers, has something to say about the whole law of God, that holy law, that good law. If we cannot have life by the third commandment, neither can we have life by any other commandment. And that's the apostle's point in Romans 8, verse 3. The law is weak through the flesh. The law could not deliver me. It could not relieve me of the condemnation that is due unto me. There is no condemnation to me, but that verdict did not come through the law. That verdict came through the gospel. It came through Jesus Christ. My righteousness is not of myself, and it is not through the works of the law. My righteousness is in Jesus Christ. It's His righteousness. And that indeed is the glorious gospel of salvation. Jesus Christ was under the third commandment. He was made of a woman, made under the law, which means God's law from heaven spoke to him, Thou, Jesus, shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Jesus was under that law, and he was under that law for you. He was under that law in our place as our head and as our mediator, so that whatever he did under that law would count for you. What did he do under that law? He obeyed and he paid. He took your sins upon himself that the law required. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. God did not hold Jesus guiltless. God held Jesus guilty for your blasphemy and for mine, and cursed him for it, and crucified him for it upon the cross. And Jesus obeyed that law. He obeyed that law by standing under that law and saying, I love thy name. I love thy name as much as God loves that name. And Jesus used that name no otherwise than with fear and reverence all his life. That's the Psalms. That's the whole book of Psalms from beginning to end. There are the words of Jesus, the songs of Jesus. The Psalms take us into Jesus' own thoughts, Jesus' own heart, Jesus' own words as he stood before Jehovah. And his constant confession was, praise the name of the Lord. Jesus used that name exactly as the law requires that name to be used. He did so perfectly without ever faltering in the use of that name. So that even when he was under the hottest part of God's curse, he still cried out the name of God, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Using that name exactly according to the scriptures. Jesus used the name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence. He obeyed under the third commandment, and he paid under the third commandment in our place, in our stead, as our mediator and as our head. He loved and loves God's name as much as God loves his own name. There's the gospel. There's freedom for the child of God. There's relief for us blasphemers. There's righteousness for the child of God before the face of God. He held Jesus guilty, and he holds us guiltless. He holds us guiltless. The third commandment says, "He will not hold him guiltless that taketh the name of the Lord thy God in vain." But God holds us guiltless for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's the word of the gospel concerning the name of God. For Jesus' sake, we are righteous with regard to this name. The Church of Jesus Christ, being redeemed from that curse of the law, then in gratitude uses the name of God to his glory. Our use of God's name, then, is the use of gratitude because the third commandment has been fulfilled. You don't have to fulfill the law. You don't have to fulfill the third commandment. That's done. Jesus did it. It's finished for you already. The whole commandment, everything the third commandment requires, is finished for you. Now you enter in to the keeping of that third commandment by the grace of God, not unto salvation or unto righteousness, but because of righteousness, because of redemption, because of what Jesus Christ has done. And here's the other office of the law. Not only does it expose our sin, but it also is the rule of our gratitude for the gospel and for the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been redeemed from the curse of the law with regard to your blasphemy and mine, here is your life of gratitude to God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word to us. Wilt thou bless that word unto us? We thank thee for our Savior and his perfect use of thy name, revealed everywhere in the scriptures for our comfort. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast spoken to us the holy gospel of our Savior. And we thank thee that thou hast also now graciously spread before us this holy supper, joining it to the word of the gospel to confirm our faith and to seal unto us the salvation that thou hast wrought. We beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Lord's Day 28, question 77. Where has Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? In the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We partake of the bread according to the institution of Jesus Christ, who said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. First Corinthians 11, verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Question and answer 77 continued. This promise is repeated by the Holy Apostle Paul, where he says, The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, because we are all partakers of that one bread. We partake of the wine according to the institution of our Lord, who said, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Let us give thanks to God in prayer. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render Thee most humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast, of Thy infinite mercy, given us Thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that Thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain His Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech Thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of Thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with Him, through Jesus Christ Thy Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Turn now to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, we will sing the remaining verses of the psalm, verses 6 through 11 of Psalm 42. Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.